Proverbs 31. We're winding down our reflections on the book of Proverbs today. We're at the end of the Proverbs today. And the book of Proverbs ends in the same way that it began. It began with poetry, a 9-chapter poem, and it ends with poetry as well. So we're going to read Proverbs 31. We've been chewing on tiny little bite-sized things, and today we're just going to read Proverbs 31. It's a whole chapter. And then we'll make a couple of reflections, and then we'll come to the table. Sound like a plan? Yes, Brett, I am with you. Here we go. Helps if I get my Bible, doesn't it? Proverbs 31. Wait a second, it's not on page 460. No, that's the blue Bibles, Brett. Just up here talking to myself. Proverbs 31, Proverbs 31, the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance of his mother taught him. Verse 2. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to crave wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The book of Proverbs, it began with a parent giving guidance to their child. with a parent in verse 1 saying, this is chapter 1, verse 8, "Listen, my child, listen to the instruction of your father and to the teaching of your mother." And now the Proverbs are, they're ending in the same way, with a mother giving instruction to her son, to King Lemuel. Who is King Lemuel? Nobody knows. Nobody knows who King Lemuel is. This is the only place in Scripture, this is the only place in any other ancient witness that talks about King Lemuel. But whoever compiled the book of Proverbs for us, whoever edited the book of Proverbs and put it all together for us, they apparently didn't think it was that necessary for us to know exactly all the backstory or who King Lemuel was, to know much about him or his mother or anything like that. This inspired utterance, verse 1, this inspired utterance, this oracle of insight, this prophetic poem that's been given here, it can stand on its own two feet. You don't need backstory for it, apparently. King Lemuel's mother, all we're doing is just reflecting on what Proverbs 31 says. Let's see. King Lemuel's mother wants to make sure that her son doesn't waste his life. Don't spend your strength or your vigor on the wrong things. That's all he's wanting to do. He's just like, my son, make sure you don't waste your life on the wrong things. She wants him, and this is what the book of Proverbs has been completely about, to enter into the truly human life, into the fully alive kind of life, the truly alive kind of life. She doesn't want him to, verse 3, spend his strength and his vigor on the things that ruin life. On the things that ruin life. Because he's a king. King Lemuel. We don't know much about him, but we just know he's a king, and we don't want to forget that. King Lemuel is a king. His life is not his own. His life is not his own. He's responsible for more than just himself. He's responsible for more than just himself. He's got people who are looking to him. People who are, verse 5, the oppressed. In verse 8, the people who cannot speak for themselves. And he needs to make sure that justice is done around him. Justice is done in the land around him. That the laws are upheld and that disputes are fairly judged. And so his mother tells him, the first thing she tells him is, like, leave the wine and the booze and the beer for other people, Lemuel. Leave it for other people. For the verses 6 and 7, for the suffering and the anguished. They're the people who need a stiff drink, Lemuel. They're the people who need to forget their pain and misery. Side note, the rest of the Proverbs would say that it's a really stupid way to live to abuse alcohol and to self-medicate with alcohol. That like, it's not like King Lemuel's mother's giving you permission to just, you know, go get wasted in the gutter or something. But King Lemuel's mother isn't really that concerned about the people in the gutter right now. She's got her son in mind. She's not giving timeless commands for everyone everywhere. She's just wanting this boy who's on the throne, this man who's on the throne. It's always a boy. You're always my boy. I want you to pursue the right things in life. So leave the booze for the guy in the gutter. You're a king. You're a king, Lemuel. You have such dignity and such responsibility. Who you are and who you're responsible to means that you got to make sure that you don't waste your energy on the wrong things. Get your buzz from doing the right thing, verses 8 and 9. Get your fix from helping those who are depending on you, is what she seems to be saying. Don't try to escape this life that you've been given, you know, through alcohol. Don't try to escape this life that you've been given. Get your buzz by leaning into this life that you've been given and using this life to help those who need you, is what she seems to be saying. Lemuel, son of my womb, don't chase after the wrong kind of high. And don't chase after the wrong kind of woman, is where the rest of the chapter goes. And that's the part of Proverbs 31 that everyone seems to remember. That's the part that gets focused on the most. The ode to the right kind of woman. The ballad to the wife of noble character. The noble woman. The, the valorous woman, the heroic woman. Oh, we put her on such a pedestal. But we need to remember, it's a song by a woman. It's a song by a woman about a woman. That's who's singing the song. Mama Lemuel. Can we call her that for just a second? Let's just call her that for shorthand. Mama Lemuel doesn't want her son to spend his verse 3, his strength or his vigor or his wealth or his resources. Don't spend it on the wrong kind of woman. And that's woven throughout. This is a theme that's woven throughout the entire book of Proverbs. Right in the middle of that 9-chapter poem that begins the book of Proverbs, right here in the middle of it in chapter 7, there's a strong, sustained warning against the wrong kind of women, against the wrong kind of woman, against the adulterous woman, the wayward woman, the woman of loose morals, the woman who says, go ahead and throw that next slide up on the screen, Bob. The woman who says, I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money, and he will not be home till full moon. But then chapter 7 immediately, go ahead and throw the next slide up, immediately says this about this kind of woman. Says, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Mama Lemuel doesn't want her son stepping into the noose of the wrong kind of woman, of this kind of woman, the wayward woman, the adulterous woman. And it's not only, I don't think this is just a temptation about our physical sexuality, although that's certainly in view in Proverbs. Affairs and pornography and casual flings are really stupid things to do. The Proverbs will say again and again and again. They're really stupid. Things that will destroy your life. They'll pierce your liver. That'll pierce your guts. That'll lead you to slaughter. But the adulterous woman is more. The adulterous woman is more in the book of Proverbs. She's like the embodiment of the wasted life. She's like the embodiment of the foolish life. This is the kind of life that has no concern for integrity or responsibility or for the future. The kind of life that just wants to consume. The kind of life that sees the luxurious Egyptian bed coverings and smells the cinnamon and the aloes and hears the invitation of fleeting pleasure. I know it's going to cost me, but I got, and then just wants to consume it all. I'll just have it all, please. There's a physical sexual dimension to about this temptation, but it sounds something like our entire culture, doesn't it? Sounds something like our entire Western culture, all of modern American culture. Good grief. Consumer culture. Consumers just want to consume. No real thought to integrity or responsibility or the future. I just forget integrity or responsibility in the future. We just want what we want and we want it now. Good grief. But consumer culture, whether we're consuming people or consuming products, it's not what Mama Lemuel says is the best possible kind of life. And she wants her son to find the right kind of woman, a woman who embodies wisdom. Who embodies wisdom? She wants her son to know the heroic woman who doesn't just consume, but actually, what does she do? She doesn't just consume throughout Proverbs 31, she produces. She produces. She gives. That's all this proverb, that's all this poem is about. She gives and gives. We tend to think of like our homes. We tend to think of our houses, you know, that place where you sleep. We tend to think of our houses as the place, the pri- We tend to primarily think of them as the places where we consume, where we consume food, where we consume entertainment, where we consume Netflix, you know? I binge on Breaking Bad, you know, for hours and hours and hours. Or Downton Abbey, or whatever your fix is. But in the ancient Near East, in the culture that this is from, the home was the primary economic unit. The home wasn't primarily the place where you consume stuff. The home was the place where things were produced. It's the primary economic unit. The men were out working the soil and growing food, and the women were in the home doing everything else, literally producing everything. There was no Walmart. There was no Chipotle. There was no Home Depot, no Social Security Administration. If clothes were to be woven, if a meal was to be prepared, if the lamps were to be refilled so the lights don't go out, if the poor were going to be helped, if something was to get done, it was going to get done in the home. That's the place where it was going to get done. It was going to get done in the home. And Mama Lemuel is singing about an alternate way, an alternative way to the wayward woman, to the woman of foolishness, to the wasted life. Mama Lemuel, it's an alternative to the stupid, selfish consumer culture that's all around us. It's an alternative to the woman of foolishness. She's singing about the life of wisdom. That's what we have here. It's a ballad to the life of wisdom here at the end of the book of Proverbs. It's the life where we use our energy and our strength and our giftedness and our resources for more than just ourselves. For more than just ourselves. The kind of life where we do something with ourselves. Where we do something with our hands. If you watch the way, go ahead and you can throw the next slide up. Watch the way that the heroic woman uses her hands. The image of hands just is all over it's like a golden thread that runs through this song. She works eagerly with her hands, verse 13, day and night to make sure that her children and her servants and all the household, which is a complex economic unit, are cared for. She uses her earnings, verse 16. The Hebrew literally says, this is another place where hands shows up. It literally says, the fruit of her hands, it's part of this golden thread, to plant a vineyard to provide for children and servants. She takes the distaff and the spindle. I had to look this up. It's like kind of a handheld. Anyone know what a distaff is without having to Google it? It's like these two poles that you use to like, basically like a spinning wheel. You know, you can use these two things to weave fabrics together. She takes these to clothe everyone in her house with the finest scarlet clothes for winter. She opens her hands, verse 20, to help those who are in need, to help promote social justice outside of just her house. Verse 31, it couldn't be more right that she deserves praise and honor for all that her hands do, for all that her hands have done. And this is the kind of life that Mama Lemuel values. This is the kind of life that's about more than just yourself. This is a life of wisdom. This is the truly alive kind of life. It's the life that embodies verse 30, it embodies the fear of the Lord. It embodies the fear of the Lord. It embodies reverence and awe and wonder and respect for God. You would think that a king's mother would be praising the royal household, but she doesn't end. The book of Proverbs doesn't end by praising, like singing the praises of the king or of religious experts or of scribes. Or priests, or it's not the CEOs or the megachurch pastors. It's not the presidents or the PhDs who get their praises sung here at the end of the book of Proverbs. That's not where the life of wisdom can be most clearly seen. No, it's a different kind of life where the life of wisdom can be most clearly seen that embodies the fear of the Lord most clearly. It's a different kind of life, verse 26, that this is profound. Check it out if you've got a Bible. Verse 26, that reveals the deepest and truest things in all of ancient Israel. It literally says, she opens her mouth and faithful instruction. Torah hesed, the law of love and kindness That's what you find revealed by this woman. And Mama Lemuel seems to just forget about the throne, about royalty, about prestige, about all the glamorous, glitzy things of life. And she just sings the praise of the tireless work of the heroic everyday woman. That's the way the book of Proverbs ends. The truly alive life, the life of wisdom, the truly alive kind of life, it almost never looks flashy or extraordinary. Almost never looks flashy or extraordinary. It looks like us doing the work before us. It looks like us living the life that's been given to us. It looks like us loving and serving those around us. The Proverbs end in the most surprising way of all. They end by singing the praises of the humble, quiet, frequently forgotten life of caring for others. That's the way the book of Proverbs ends. It ends by singing the praises of the humble, quiet, frequently forgotten life of serving and caring for others. The life of wisdom, the life of holiness, the life, the truly significant, truly heroic, truly alive kind of life looks like the everyday kind of life. It looks like the everyday kind of life of quietly serving those around you. That's what it looks like. And that's, of course, what Mama Lemuel is singing praises about. She sees this clearly, and she's singing the praises of it, and of course it's what she wants her son to be. I want you to value this too. I want you to be joining your life to this kind of life. And that's the kind of life that we're all invited into. This is the kind of life that we're all invited into. It's a difficult life to find, verse 1. I mean, who can find such a thing, verse 10? And it's certainly it's a difficult life to find out there, and it's a difficult life for us to enter into, but it's the best possible kind of life. It's the best possible kind of life, a life that is not wasted. It's a life that we're invited to participate in every single day, and the reason why it's good news. The reason why it's not just a burden of like, oh man, because sometimes you hear Proverbs 31 and it makes all the women in the audience feel guilty, in the congregation, in the community, feel really guilty. Man, what, this woman's doing all this amazing stuff. No, we're all invited into this. And the reason why it's good news, the reason it's not a crippling sort of thing that's just burdensome to all of us, the reason why it's gospel, is, even though it's so difficult and so challenging, is because this, Proverbs 31, is the life of God himself. That's the reason why it's good news. Before Proverbs 31 is about anyone else, Proverbs 31 is about the life of God himself. The wisdom of God himself. The humble, quiet, frequently forgotten life of caring for others. That's the life of God. That's the life of God. You think that's a stretch? You think that, just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the center of our, this is his table that we're coming to. In Jesus, we see God caring for those around him. We see God tirelessly serving and healing those around him, including us if we'll come around him. In Jesus, we see most clearly what God is like. That God, this is how God spends his strength and his vigor, his resources. God uses all of that to bring life to others, to us, if we'll open ourselves to him. In Jesus, we see the hands of God. We see the hands of God giving food to the hungry and embracing and healing the hopeless. We see the heroic hands of God wrap himself in a towel and wash feet. God has eager hands. God is the one with eager hands that open wide to nails that are not his. They're not his, so that he can clothe us in the finest of scarlet. Proverbs 31 isn't just a challenge or an invitation to us. Proverbs 31 is the gospel, my friends. Proverbs 31 is the gospel. Many people do noble things, but our God surpasses them all. Because the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. God took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's a costly covenant. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. In just a moment, you'll be invited to come to this table. Come to this table and receive a bit of bread and to dip it into the cup, and then you can return to your seats. In just a minute, you'll be invited to come and practice the life of faith. The life of faith is always coming to the table, coming to God, and receiving again and again and again. Father, it's in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. As we come to your table, Lord Jesus, help us to see the ways that we try to escape from our life, this life that we've been given. We try to escape through food, through sex, through work. Help us to see clearly the ways that we try to escape. And help us to see the ways that we try to make our lives about ourselves. And help us this morning to enter into true life, to enter into your life. Help us to come to this table this morning and see your gospel before us, that you take our sin, our selfishness, our death, and you give us back freedom and joy and truest life. May you wash us and teach us all to be your bride, spotless and radiant and heroic. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.